Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Nerd Soup. I am Bo Oliver, back here with Aaron, the Nerd 2 Monkey. It is just us two for another episode of the Nerd 2 Podcast, where we are talking about movies, TV, video games, all that good stuff. And of course, you can listen to this podcast at our Buzzsprout link or on iTunes, podcasts, Google Podcasts, sorry, Spotify, and all the other places where you can find podcasts. And find us on social media at Nerd Soup, Nerd Soup for you at some places, Nerd 2 Monkey, Teddy Nerd Soup, Anthony JQ Nash, Purple Girl, NS. Change that at, god damn it. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, man? I feel like you got to change your
tone.
Way, yeah, the way you're like going at Marissa to change her at. She's not going to listen to you. So you got to be like, no, I like it. And then I guarantee the next day, it's Marissa Nerd Soup.
I am, for the last 27 years, I've unsuccessfully tried to get Marissa to listen to me. So I'm just going to keep calling her out on the podcast.
Well, you're older, so even before she was born, you were...
Yeah, that was difficult, those first 6 years. Sorry, those first 4 years, yeah. No, but she needs to change it, because Purple and Girl, they just want to tie my tongue.
Well, that's probably her intent, so.
You think so? She's,
yeah.
She's playing that? I wouldn't put it past her. It's a psychopath. Yeah, but like we said, we have a lot of stories to talk about. We have new casting for the Game of Thrones spinoff. We have new casting, not casting news, but just new breaking news for Spider-Man 3, an additional member of... Why am I like hiding the news when everyone knows it from the from the title?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange and Spider-Man.
Doctor Strange is in Spider-Man. Yeah, it's going to be Doctor Strange.
And a couple of trailers to get
And a couple of trailers and some other stuff. And of course, fan questions.
Oh, real quick, I don't know, Holmes.
My favorite part.
Does Henry Cavill ruin Sherlock for you? I know, I think he's great, but I just want a beefcake Sherlock from now on. I don't want no lanky Benedict Cumberbatch as my Sherlock now.
See, that's the thing. I loved Cavill playing Sherlock, but it's just not Sherlock.
Yeah, I know. I was mad about Mario.
I do like that take, though, yeah. That you want a beefy Sherlock from here on out.
Well, isn't he supposed to be like a skilled boxer and stuff like that?
Yeah, but he's not supposed to be. He's ripped out of his mind. He's Henry Cavill.
I know.
There's no way Sherlock is also Henry Cavill.
I hope they make sequels. I thought that was a very nice little universe they built there. I didn't like Moriarty. I didn't like...
Mycroft.
Mycroft.
Yes. Well, they just made him a villain.
Because I like Mycroft in the sense that he's like... You know, he's smarter than Sherlock, but he just doesn't care. He's only into it for, like, his own personal politics and,
yeah, this Mycroft, they made him dumber than Sherlock. He's probably the dumbest out of all of them.
Well, I think that's
and
what
he's just there to antagonize Enola.
Because when you add in Enola, Holmes, it's like, you can't have three geniuses, so you have to...
Well, they did that in the BBC Sherlock. A lot of people didn't like it, didn't like that episode, but they introduced a third sibling,
mm-hmm.
and it was... I don't think her name was Enola, but it was Sherlock's sister, and she was smarter than the both of them. So they both kind of had to team up and take out their sister. But yeah, like you said, I wish Mycroft, Stephen Fry's Mycroft is the best one from mm-hmm. the Robert Downey Jr. movies. We're just walking around the house naked when they come to see him. He's just completely in his own world.
But I did like Enola.
But
I hope
your point
more.
About, yeah, making more, there was about an hour into the movie, I thought, when is this episode going to end? Because it felt like an episode. I felt like I was watching the beginning of a show. And I kind of wanted it to keep going and to have multiple episodes. This story's not going to be wrapped up, right? They're not going to find her mom this season. I was like, wait, it's a fucking movie. She was good, too. Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
Forgot her name there for a second. She's always good.
Yeah.
And I said it on my review. It's just a nice addition to the Sherlock Holmes mythology. I think that's a character that people can be a bit more... You can play around with that character.
Well, when Cavill's walking into the police station and a cop's trying to stop him, he's like, don't be ridiculous.
That was good. Yeah, that's some classic Sherlock. Yeah. What are you doing? Lestrade was actually good. That was one of the better Lestrades.
Yeah.
But overall, it was a very fun movie. All right, let's move on to something completely different. Also as English actors, but it's the Game of Thrones spinoff series coming to HBO. When? Who knows? But it's called The House of the Dragon, and we were wondering for a long time. It's obviously going to be about the Targaryens, but which era? Is it going to be about Aegon? Is it going to be about old Valyria?
Mm-hmm.
But no, it looks like it's going to take place. I don't know exactly what era this is, but it's known to book readers as the Dance of Dragons. It's a Targaryen civil war that happened a couple hundred years before the start of the show, correct?
Yeah, around that time.
Right.
It was like one of the, like...
Basically, this is what destroyed the house.
Well, and the dragons.
All the cracks.
Yeah.
And the dragons, right. They did go to civil war against each other.
Yeah.
And we have our first casting. We have Paddy Considine, who is an English actor, and we know him more recently from... The Outsider,
yes.
Which he was very good in.
He was.
And he has been cast as Viserys I, Viserys I, the first King Viserys Targaryen, who was the man who presided over the two children who destroyed his house. He gave birth to them. So this is a very important role in the story. Well, actually, the Targaryen's a little different.
Well, yeah, they say the dragons, you know, they're...
You have to sit on the eggs.
Yeah.
And you got two little babies.
But yeah, this is the first casting, and the Dance of Dragons is probably one of my favorite little short stories, or even just things to read up about within the, I guess, endless history of Westeros at this point.
Yeah.
But
it's one of the more impressive parts.
Yeah, he is a good actor, and, you know, it's just nice that we're finally getting some casting about this and getting some more information. They released like a little snippet along with the casting. Let me see if I can find it. Oh yeah, King Viserys Targaryen is chosen by the Lords of Westeros to succeed the old King Jaehaerys at the Great Council at Harrenhal. A warm, kind, and decent man, Viserys only wishes to carry forward his grandfather's legacy, but good men do not necessarily make for good kings.
Well, his father is considered the best king, right?
Grandfather.
Okay, his grandfather.
Yes.
I think he built the King's Road, right? See, you don't have forward-thinking minds like that in Westeros anymore. It's like Eisenhower's statewide highway. That's what the King's Road was for the people of Westeros. But going to Viserys.
What does Elon Musk want to make?
He wants to make those tunnels, right?
Yeah, do those.
Or the Hyperloop?
That's the King's Road.
That's the next step in Westeros.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting description, and obviously we've seen this before in the show. When good people try to rule, they usually fail in this world because it is so brutal. It's different, I guess, when you're... I mean, there were tons of betrayals, like you just said, the history is so detailed. So the Targaryens, there was always internal conflicts, but
I'm not sure.
I think when you're the king of a dynasty that's been around for that long, I guess you feel like you're more sure-footed. So when the rug gets pulled from under you, it's very dramatic, and this was a very dramatic dispute, a bloody dispute between this family.
Well, from my understanding, or from what I recall, he wasn't a bad king. It's just that...
Just kind of incompetent.
No, well, it's just like the Civil War just started from a lack of, I guess, a plan of succession. Well, he did have a plan. It was to give it to Rhaenyra, and you know how that works when you try to make your daughter your queen instead of your son. That's obviously going to cause conflict, and you have... Because he got remarried to Alison Hightower, had Aegon, and she's like, nah, fuck this. He's going to be king. I want my son to be king.
And we saw that with the show. Moms always want their kid to be in power.
And then it's just like, yeah, now everything's going to go to shit. You have family fighting family, dragon fighting dragon, and...
And it is very epic because it does span the continent.
The whole world suffers because of a family dispute.
Yeah, and I think even the Starks get involved. And that's the thing, a lot of the disputes that would happen in the South, the North usually stayed out of it. But I think even in this, I'm pretty sure the Starks fight in the Civil War, and they fight for the crown. That's the thing, the story, I always complained, we know the ending of this story, so I'm not that interested in it, but when we see it play it out, it is so detailed and so epic, like I just mentioned, and it has dragons.
Yeah.
So they could take some liberties with the history that George created.
Well, I know,
and
the,
make
like,
their own.
I knew, like, I didn't know the ending, but I read the book, so I knew a lot of the major plot points, especially for the earlier seasons. And it didn't bother me one bit. The Red Wedding was still as epic as it was when I read it. So I think getting, like I said too, like this is only a novella, and there's certain things when you can read up on characters on A Song of Ice and Fire wiki, you get an idea of what happened, but there's so many more ins and outs that can be explored within this
story. The ins and outs is where they can create their own Red Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
They can create those specific moments that still build that intrigue week to week, where just because you know how the Civil War is going to end.
And there are a lot of things, too, within the novella that happened that, you know, some dark shit, some crazy shit, that even if you do know where the story ends up and who wins.
If I told you Rob dies, still.
Yeah.
You're watching that scene. You're watching the Red Wedding. This is a great scene. They're all having, oh my God, his wife just got stabbed. It's still going to catch you off guard.
Yeah, and just things that are unknown. Like, you might know the
Did you hear
the
his
plot
comments?
Points, but who?
George's comments about the book?
No.
He said that every character is going to have a different ending.
I think that's expected, but he said...
Bran's king.
The man thing. Yeah, Bran's going to be
Stannis
king.
And Stannis burning his daughter.
Yeah.
Daenerys
has to go Mad Queen, too.
Right. I think his ending will be... Maybe we just see her have more time on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. She's definitely going crazy. What makes... I'm now wondering what happens to Jon if he doesn't get his happy ending. I do like the happy ending for Jon. Now I'm scared. But yeah, no, this is... It's good to get more information about this series. Like we said, we were kind of in the dark. We only had the title. And some people are still speculating that this could be an anthology series. That just because it starts... At this point in time with House Targaryen, that it doesn't mean that they can't jump because the history is hundreds of years.
I mean, obviously, this is like the most appealing story to tell.
Yeah, definitely.
But I would have preferred a Targaryen anthology. Maybe start at old Valyria, and then you progress to Aegon's conquest, and then the next season could be the Dance of Dragons. Then you can have, or the Blackfyre Rebellion, or things like that. There's so many stories from just the Targaryens alone that won't necessarily need like a long run. So maybe if you do like 2-season anthologies and just kind of skip around and go to different eras, I think that's something I would have preferred, but they could still do that, like you said. And I think this was an easy decision for HBO to say, let's start here, because it's the Targaryen Civil War, and that's going to draw eyes.
Man, The Long Night really just didn't have a chance. I mean, they gave it a chance. I would love to see the documentary on what went wrong with The Long Night. But
I don't know. I mean, you had Naomi Watts signed up, I think.
Well, even getting that news about Naomi Watts and getting more information about the series, I was never drawn in like I am right now about the House of the Dragon. This, just even going into the podcast, I wasn't that excited to talk about it. But then just remembering that they have these giant magical beasts called dragons and they're going to be using them against each other. And the politics, if you get the right writers, and HBO usually does, maybe they'll bring in some of those Game of Thrones executives and producers.
Well, like, I'm looking forward to see who they cast as Rhaenyra.
Yeah, you got a lot of ways to go.
I think Alison Hightower has to be the best casting. I think that has potential to be the best character. Because
she's a schemer, right?
Yeah, to get more into her and more in like her dealings and expand on what we know from the novella, I think.
What is her physical description? Do you know? Because that's very important in Game of Thrones. They do love the hair color and...
Those Hightowers have
maybe like a Saoirse Ronan?
No, Allison's older.
Oh, she is older?
I'm actually not too sure like how old she is, because I think he marries her young, but then Aegon still grows older. I don't know when they're going to pick this story up, if it's going to be towards right before this all happens and like right before the fuse is lit, or maybe they have like a seat. We don't know how long this is going to be either.
Rachel Wise or Rachel Vise, actually. Yeah,
that could work.
It's going to be fun to see.
Well, they always play.
I wonder if they're going to get some big names too. They had Naomi Watts for The Long Night, like we just mentioned. Do they? This guy isn't a huge name. He's not a household name. I wonder if they do go for that type. I mean, it's a franchise that actors would want to be a part of.
Well, I think he's going
to
be
multiple seasons.
And I guess minor spoilers, but it's been out for a while. So skip 20 seconds if you don't want to hear it. He's going to be the Ned Stark of the first season. If it goes longer. He's going to die at the end, and then that's going to cause this turmoil between the two factions of the house.
Let's move on to the next story here. Of course, it's very exciting. House of the Dragon, and I'm sure we won't be reviewing that because nobody wants to hear our thoughts on anything Game of Thrones related anymore. But that's fine. We'll move on to the next story. We have Marvel, MCU casting news. Not casting, but just news. Doctor Strange is going to be in Spider-Man 3. And this has been rumored for a very long time. Not Doctor Strange specifically, but that another big Avenger would be appearing in the next Spider-Man movie. This is awesome. It's Doctor Strange. He's right there. What's his address again? 22B Baker Street? No, that's Sherlock. He's at the... Bleecker Street. Yeah. So like I said, yeah, they're right there. They're neighbors. And it's interesting. It's characters that you wouldn't expect to work together, because Doctor Strange's problems are so much different from Peter Parker's.
Mm-hmm.
They're on like the two sides of the criminal scales with the types of criminals they're dealing with. So that's why I'm intrigued by this.
Well, I think...
How is Spider-Man being dragged into this world, or vice versa? Is Doctor Strange the principal?
I think the first thing most people's reaction was like the multiverse, because we know that Doctor Strange is going to delve into that in his own movie, and especially with the news of Electro coming and Jamie Foxx's Electro being in this movie, and speculation from fans are going to get like a Spider-Verse. Who better to bring that in to cause that than Doctor Strange?
Did we talk about the Electro news? Yeah, we did,
on the
last podcast. Yeah, and I didn't mention that the rumor of Kraven the Hunter appearing in Spider-Man 3 was something I was very excited about, and I guess that's not going to happen, because that movie is, if you have Kraven, you just want Spider-Man and Kraven.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a lot of people are upset that, like, we don't need, this is like the third time we've had Spider-Man, not hijacked, but just let him do his own thing.
It's Spider-Man 3, man. I mean, Spider-Man 3 is a movie where people say there are just too many characters in this movie, too many villains. And adding another hero like a Doctor Strange, and if you do go the multiverse route and you bring in Garfield and you bring in Toby for cameos, I don't know what the story is going to be. Maybe it's sort of like a flashpoint where Spider-Man is trying to change something, or I don't know.
Because right now, too,
it's fun. It's a fun idea. Hey, let's pair Doctor Strange and Spider-Man. How are we going to do it? I don't know. Let's get back to the drawing board. But that's the thing. If they make this decision, then that means that they have an idea in the back of their head that says, this can work. Let's do it.
Well, I always did like other heroes jumping into other movies, because it makes it feel like a shared universe. Why wouldn't Doctor Strange pop up there? you know, what is he, a half-hour subway ride away?
Yeah.
So if there's shit going down in Queens, he might have to stop by just to check on things and vice versa. But I just hope that they are doing it for a reason and not just, like,
Doctor Strange and Spider-Man.
Yeah, and look at Tobey and Garfield.
That's the thing. I don't think you're building any more hype for a Spider-Man movie by adding Doctor Strange. The last one did $1 billion. Yeah. People are anticipating this movie already. It's Spider-Man. Do you make that much more money because you got Doctor Strange in there?
What is he doing?
Yeah, I want to know what he's doing. Does he have a problem and he brings Spider-Man in?
Because right now Mysterio added him as being Peter Parker.
Oh, you're saying what is... Yeah, yeah.
So, like, how does it get from there to in the multiverse? Maybe he's trying to go back in time to...
Well, that's the thing. We're assuming that they're going to use the multiverse.
Ooh,
they don't
dark
have
here.
To.
He outed him as Peter Parker. Someone who hates Spider-Man kills Aunt May, and now he wants to go back to save her and gets fucked up within the multiverse.
That's and then he becomes Batman?
Well, yeah, it's Flashpoint, pretty much. He's trying to save his dead mom.
Well, that's the thing. They don't necessarily have to go the multiverse route. Doctor Strange could be there for some other magical reason. I'm trying to... I don't know. What other character...
Tony Stark left him in... left Doctor Strange Spider-Man in his will.
That would be funny. It's just his ward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Doctor Strange said. Yeah, I don't know. Benedict Cumberbatch, though, keep getting those bags. I'm excited for Doctor Strange, too. I wonder, Sam Raimi is directing that, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. There are so many different Spider-Man, WandaVision. There are a couple of different stories here that might be tying into Doctor Strange's sequel. So that makes me believe that they always have a plan. It may not be a good plan. I mean, it may end up sucking, but they're definitely doing this for a reason they feel is good. So we'll just have to wait and see. It's exciting, nonetheless. It gives us something good to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. Because everything else we've been talking about is either delays
or cancellations.
Which we have that right now, don't we?
Yeah, no, we have a couple of delays. Dune is being pushed back to October 2021.
Yeah, October 1st.
And the Batman has been pushed back to 2022. Yeah, that was the Batman's release date. So the Batman was like, I guess we got to move back now too, right?
That sucks.
Give them credit for putting the question mark in the release date for their trailer.
Yeah.
They didn't know, 2022. Yeah, I think the Batman doesn't hurt as much as Dune does because Dune was right around the corner. But also, when I read that news, it was sad but expected. I just kind of knew it was coming.
Yeah, none of this is surprising at this point. Especially because it's just been the norm. Everything except for Tenet. Everything's just...
I know. Yeah.
I just expected nothing to come out this year. So most of the movies are going to be either dropped on streaming or just delayed. And we kind of had this conversation when all this first started. Is now all these movies are going to be taking slots for next year. And those movies that were slated for next year are going to get pushed back. And now nothing's going to be filmed during this time either. So that's going to get pushed back. So,
well, we also have the report about Regal is indefinitely closing their theaters throughout the country. So it doesn't matter where you live, if theaters are open or if they're not, you can't go to a Regal theater. And I'm sure that other chains are going to follow suit. And this is why the theater business is in a very precarious situation right now, because these movies are being pushed back and it's disappointing for us, but they're not making money.
Yeah, that's what he's...
And it just keeps getting worse and worse as these movies... I mean, these are dramatic pushbacks. They're not even taking chances anymore. James Bond as well. That was the one that was the first domino to fall, that kind of... Now all these others are being pushed back, all these other movies. So you feel bad for the theater chains, man. And you wonder, we talked about it, we always talked about it like it was 10, 15, maybe 20 years in the future when movie theaters die, or if that could even happen. maybe this year.
Yeah.
Maybe next year, who knows?
It sucks, man, because obviously I think we've taken every precaution, but I've been to a theater and I've been in restaurants. And in Long Island, restaurants are open for indoor dining, but it's socially distant and they have regulations in place. How is that any different from going into, I guess, the air and the recycled air? But there has to be a better way. If you have socially distant seating and staggered times and,
well,
I don't know, I
think
there's a better way where you
can...
My problem
is that it seems that other states...
Because theaters aren't going to be around by when Dune comes. Or it's going to be vastly different, the theater experience. Or you're going to have to drive 20 minutes for a theater because your local one is closed down for good.
Well, there's no information on when they're going to open up in New York, right?
Haven't
been any updates.
No.
It was supposed to be the beginning of September. And you would think with our low infection rate that they would allow 25% capacity at theaters. It's just so disappointing all around. And it's scary at this point. I fear for the future of the movie theater business. I really do. And that's really all we could say on this. I mean, it sucks that they're being pushed back. I guess this is a legit question now. Do you think Dune is released in theaters, or do you think Dune is released on streaming? If you had to guess, what would be the...
Well, they had a story that I think it was Spielberg and others are going to ask for bailouts.
I guess if...
And it's ridiculous. Like, I know, like, obviously, I think that's great, but a lot of people are going to be like, who gives a shit about the rich Hollywood? But yeah, it's for the theaters.
And you have to also factor in, are those, those theaters may be individually owned.
Mm-hmm.
Regal operates like that as well, where you can buy a Regal theater, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, of course. So it's like not, any franchise.
Yeah, yeah. And these are small businessmen.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they may be making millions of dollars, you have one bad year and you're no longer a small businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this has been a pretty bad year for them.
I think
so. Like you said, it doesn't look great. Hollywood being bailed out by Congress. That's not essentially, I mean, basically that's what it is, but that's not what it is.
Yeah. I think in order for theaters to be like they were, something like that is going to have to happen. Because I don't see, if Regal's closing that, I think AMC is probably doing it the best right now, but they've had a ton of issues. Regal and Cinemark are like the other, like the top five biggest theater chains.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing great. And what about, like you said, the independent private theaters?
Yeah, they have to be doing the worst.
Yeah.
Because they always do. And in terms of stimulus, it looks like they may not pass a stimulus until after the election. So maybe that would have been included mm-hmm. in a package that they would pass. But
and obviously, we're talking about the theaters because that's our...
Yeah, but it is also, like, people work in movie theaters. They provide jobs.
Just think about that across every other industry.
I know, yeah, yeah. it's
going
everywhere.
On.
Yeah, no, it's bad for everyone.
So... But this just sucks. I figured by now that they would have a system in place that both met the guidelines and would allow some of these theaters to be running at some capacity.
I need to go back and listen to those podcasts we did in April just to see what our opinions were.
What were we forecasting back then? Tenet's going to be moved like later July, but we'll be good by then.
We'll have a vaccine by Tenet. Dune, definitely.
Looking back, it's still bananas that they pushed that through and that was in theaters.
Yeah, they were crazy, man, for doing that. It was a bad decision, it seems like.
Well, now I can still have to say, like, Sonic was the last movie I saw in theaters.
Well, for me, it was The Way Back, so, which was very good. All right, let's move on here to the next story.
When I was adding Enola Holmes to my top movies of this year list, I just got so depressed seeing what the number was.
No, I haven't even made a top 10 list for this year. I probably won't even make a video. Maybe I'll just do top 10 movies that I like. Just my top 10 movies. Here are 10 movies. Nerds Who Presents 10 movies. Do we have another story?
Well, this might make the list if you do make one. David Fincher's.
Ah, David Fincher's Mank.
Mank.
The first official trailer for Herman J. Mankiewicz, the screenwriter of Citizen Kane. And this is a movie where Gary Oldman is playing Mankiewicz. And it's about how he was racing to the finish to finish Citizen Kane. That's what the official description says. But I thought maybe, was he dying when he wrote it? No, he died like 13 years later. So what was he racing? I don't know. The pressure?
Yeah.
It looks good. I mean, Gary Oldman he may be the best actor ever. David Fincher is one of the best directors ever, and he's getting that Netflix money. And we know the word on Fincher. He loves his multiple takes. He's a perfectionist. So I always expect his movies to be at the very least like an 8.5 out of 10. So I'm very excited for this. And it's film history. It's real history because the movie Citizen Kane was based off of William Randolph Hearst, and William Randolph Hearst being played by the great Charles Dance. So you got good actors, good director, good story. This is looking like a win.
This might be, it could sweep a lot of... Not sweep the Oscar categories, but probably if they do have an Oscars, this looks like the one that's going to...
This would definitely be an Oscar contender in a normal year. But if they do have them, definitely. And I also read that there isn't a colored version of this film out there, that they shot it with a red camera that's just completely monochrome.
Hmm.
So it's just a monochrome film, and it fits. Obviously.
Yeah, it's old Hollywood. It's a story about old Hollywood, so he's shooting it like an old Hollywood movie.
Right.
And I kind of love that artistic twist on it. Instead of like...
I like the black and white for beautiful actresses. So seeing Amanda Seyfried in the black and white, it gives me that old feeling of those old Hollywood beauties.
Jessica Alba in Sin City.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's just, beautiful women just even look even more beautiful in black and white.
But yeah, I like that the style seems to be an old Hollywood style too, his direction.
Yes.
So if it was just the black and white and it was shot like with the modern approach, I think that would just be silly. But he's incorporating these classical styles and having it black and white. I think it just fits for what the story they're going to delve into. And like you said, Fincher is probably, I don't know, he might be the best director working today.
Yeah, he's in that conversation. He definitely is.
So, I mean, even just like recently too, I mean, I think Gone Girl's very underrated. But even what he's done with Mindhunter in that first season has just been spectacular. Like, he doesn't miss. Alien 3, you could argue, no, it's terrible, but
that one shot,
there's that one shot.
That one shot with the aliens.
It's Sigourney Weaver, yeah.
That is a great one. Perfect shot.
Yeah.
And I'm very intrigued by the internal battles that are going to be happening in this movie between Orson Welles and Mankiewicz, and then the outside pressure that they're getting from William Randolph Hearst's people. Yeah, so I think we're both very excited for this movie. It's good to get.
Well, this first is movie since Gone Girl, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he did the Mindhunter, obviously, the Mindhunter episodes.
Yeah.
I didn't add "the" to the title. I just paused before I said episodes. So yeah, no, it's Legend Returns. Welcome back, baby. Oh, we do have one more trailer to talk about. It's not just Mank. We also, we're talking Fat Man on today's episode of the Nerd Soup Podcast. The new Mel Gibson action?
Walton Goggins.
Yeah. Walton Goggins thriller? Comedy?
It should be a comedy, but it's, I don't know. I love this trailer.
I also did very much like it. I liked it a lot. I think this is a great premise. He is Santa.
Well, the premise, right? Is, yeah, Mel Gibson is Santa, and he gives a kid coal for Christmas, and so he hires a hitman, Walton Goggins, to kill Santa.
But he's being deadly serious. He's like, okay, if you want me to kill Santa, it's going to be this X amount of money. I'm going to need this.
No,
this,
the whole this. The whole trailer was completely dead ass, like an action
thriller. Get it done.
Yeah. And I think that's spectacular.
They should have got Tim Allen. If you're going to make this movie, you get Tim Allen. Tim Allen's in the same age range. It is fun. I guess it's funny with Mel Gibson because he's so goddamn crazy.
Yeah.
And he's drunk Santa Claus.
They should have got Billy Bobby.
Yeah, there you go. You had so many different options.
Millie Bobby.
Millie Bobby Thornton.
Thornton.
Ugh, I don't even know what that is. That's one of those face mashes that I never want to see. Millie Bobby Thornton.
I'm going to make that Twitter account. Millie Bobby Thornton.
Somebody would make the Allison Brie Larson if they were around. That's always my favorite one whenever they're together.
Yeah, this trailer is fucking bonkers. And I kind of respect it. Because like the premise, you would think it's like a comedy, but they're taking this premise dead fucking serious.
Yes, but that's the thing. I think they're going into it trying to get laughs out of them taking the premise so seriously. It's supposed to be funny because of how seriously they're taking this. When they had that confrontation, he's like, you think you're the first one to try and take me out? That's the thing. We might get prequels. How did Mel Gibson become Santa? Who were the other people trying to take him out?
Oh, man.
Jack Frost, Tooth Fairy. That's the thing. You can open this up. This can become a thing. Imagine Santa's going in to fight the assassin, and he's like, but I got to see an old friend first. It's just the Tooth Fairy. Getting into bar fights.
Yeah, dead serious holiday movies.
Holiday, yeah, the HCU.
It's like the Killers have a Christmas song and a music video where it's Santa trying to kill a naughty kid. Like, yeah, I want more dark Santa.
Can you imagine working at a Macy's and saying happy holidays to Mel Gibson as Santa? As this Santa?
No.
He'd grab you by the throat.
It's like, what about the holidays are so happy, huh? That my wife left me 5 years ago. My kids won't talk to me.
I love the American Dad where he pulls out the gun on the guy. He's like, say Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays, sir. And he pulls out a gun. He's like, say Merry Christmas. All right, let's move on. Fat Man is, it's funny.
It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's going to be like a 17%er, maybe lower.
I think it's one of those where I'm going to enjoy the trailer more than the movie.
Which you will probably never watch. We all may watch it one night.
If it comes out on streaming.
Yeah.
Streaming's been good for, I think, us. It's given us some other like fun movies. I thought it like Enola Holmes. You have The Trial of the Chicago 7 coming out. The Fincher movie is going to be on Netflix.
Did you see The Devil All the Time?
Yes.
Very serious.
I agreed with your sentiment that it's the moviest movie of all time.
Yeah. They tried. I'll give them that.
I thought it could have been actually pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. But I think it could have been a pretty great movie. But they
maybe a miniseries, because I hear the book is much better. Been hearing that a lot. I'm hearing that with Lovecraft, too. That the Lovecraft book is much better than the show. Is that ending this weekend?
I haven't caught it. I need to catch up, so maybe it is.
God, I hope it's not, so we can review it.
I don't want to spoil Devil All the Time, but I felt like they spent way too much in the beginning.
Yeah, that beginning was I didn't like it. I truly didn't like it.
The movie itself?
Yeah. So I don't want to be mean, but I thought the beginning sucked. Everything that they tried to establish.
I was intrigued for a lot of the movie. But they had the different storylines, and I'm like, oh, I know where this is going. And it's very much
what I did appreciate,
trying
though,
too much.
There was a lot of hidden symbolism, and I always appreciate some nice hidden symbolism.
It thought it looked great. I thought a lot of the performances were great.
Pattinson. Did you like Pattinson?
Yeah, I did.
Delusions!
I did like Pattinson a lot. Tom Holland, I agree. Which I wish they could have used more of that overlong beginning to make him more believable as his character.
Maybe. Devil All the Time. What would you give it out of 10?
I think I gave it like in the high sixes.
Fan questions?
Mm-hmm. I gave Enola Holmes in the eights. I always like, every year, I feel like we get those movies that are just a delight. That people would be like, oh, how could you give that score this when you gave this movie that? Just because sometimes I want to watch a movie to be entertained, have fun, and just see a nice story play out.
Yeah, I mean, all movies, you have to grade them differently based on what they're trying to accomplish. And I think Enola Holmes, it really did. It was a very fun coming-of-age Sherlock Holmes adaptation. Mm-hmm. And Millie Bobby Brown, I hate characters who talk into the camera.
I thought she was fantastic at it, though.
She was very good at it, but I just hate it, and I hate narration, too. Stop doing that.
Yeah, Devil All the Time.
Just figure it out on your own. Stop asking me for help, Dora.
That was a huge problem with me for Devil All the Time.
What happened?
The narration. I feel like like with Goodfellas it works, but it's hard. It doesn't always work. Are you going to watch Hoopy Halloween?
What? Did you say Poopy Halloween?
Hoopy Halloween.
Hoopy?
It's a new Adam Sandler movie.
What's? Give me the premise.
Yeah, I'm Sandler.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he does one of those voices.
Oh,
I think
no.
It's like, I don't know, something strange is going on in the town and it's being haunted. He's got all the buddies in there. I heard it's not actually that terrible, which is disappointing. Because the only reason why I would watch it is if it is that terrible. I don't want to be like, you know, that wasn't bad when I see a Sandler movie. I want it to be, like, worse than anything he's ever made. And it's not.
That's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Because if it's just bad,
it's going to be boring.
If it's like a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, yeah, it's just boring. You want the cobbler. No, the cobbler is actually just very fucking boring.
I think it's... There are a lot of funny callbacks, I heard, and like a lot of references to other movies. So I think as Sandler fans, it might just be fun to watch. Be like, oh, like it'd be the Leo meme the whole time.
Right. All right, let's go to fan questions.
That's for the fan to decide.
Yay!
People, you call up to the show, you better be ready. That's what you're supposed to do. Sitting there arguing and trying to spell your name and all of this other stuff. It's not your show. It's my show. I'm giving you the opportunity to speak your mind. Don't call up here unless you got something to say.
We have our first question here from Don O'Connor. With the success of The Boys, will more explicit superhero shows be made, i.e. Fool Killer? Fool Killer I'm not familiar with, but I think yes. I think, yeah, definitely. I think it's, whereas fantasy, it's harder to make because the stories are usually longer and bigger. There are a lot more explicit comics out there waiting to be adapted, and especially in the day of streaming where these streaming services will give these adaptations 10 episodes and multiple seasons, you can really flesh it out.
Yeah.
So I think definitely, especially with the success of The Boys, the ratings have been huge. This is a no-brainer for all the other streaming services. Let's get some of that superhero money. I mean,
yeah.
People getting superhero money has been common over the past 15, 20 years, but now with the shows, R-rated shows, they may be better than the PG-13.
Well, we've definitely gotten more, shows. Even before The Boys, explicitity in different ways, but with like Deadpool, Logan, The Boys, very different in their, I guess, mature ratings, but, and even with Watchmen. That was a very explicit show. Different from The Boys, obviously, but I think more with streaming that, especially with all these different streaming services, it's very much a copycat league, like with studios, you know? Marvel has a cinematic universe, let's do our own DC universe.
Right, yeah.
Didn't work for them, but I think a lot of people would be like, oh, people like this explicit Deadpool, Boys, and things like that, so we're going to adapt an R-rated version of whatever comic is out there. And there's more than DC and Marvel, obviously. I don't know them off the top of my head, so. But it doesn't surprise me that there are other stories like this that can be told and other streaming services will pick up.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see it. This question here from Desmond Myers Music. What do you think of the white savior critique of Paul Atreides? Okay, so for the most part, I disagree with it. And I disagree with it based on the premise of how the story of Dune plays out. And that's the thing. I don't want to spoil Dune, but I think it's safe to say that it's way more complex than Paul goes to this planet and saves anyone. And like I said, I don't want to spoil the story. But you can make, and I've seen this argument made, that even the story of Paul, when you use other people's cultures to build your world, it can still come off as, I don't know if offensive is the right word, but I don't even know if appropriation is the right word. It's a very, I think, nuanced discussion. And with me not wanting to spoil it and with you not knowing, it's kind of hard to have. But I've seen it. It's been brewing on Twitter over the past couple of weeks since the trailer came out, definitely. Aaron, your thoughts on this topic that you can't discuss?
People arguing on Twitter? You don't say.
Yes.
You see the fly?
On Mike Pence's head? Yeah.
That's the worst part of Twitter. It was funny for maybe 20 seconds.
Stupid joke and just run with it. Yeah, it's funny when it happened, but then when you have a million memes and, oh, the flies are attracted to shit.
Yeah.
This question here from Real Pain Money Face. Good question. Real T-Pain Money Face. Rather watch a Wes Anderson horror movie, a David Lynch romantic comedy, or a Tarantino sci-fi?
David Lynch romantic comedy.
Well, that kind of does already exist with Wild at Heart, but a more traditional Reese Witherspoon, Channing Tatum. He doesn't like relationships. She's just looking for the perfect guy.
But it's like,
they're a match made in, oh no, tornado. That would be Lynch's movie.
Yeah. Like Lynch, is this a Lynchian twist on it too? Or is it like the straight story?
Yeah, it's like
where
you propose and you open the ring and it's like a moth.
That's what I'm expecting.
And she eats the moth.
Because if it's like the straight story where it's just your regular Disney movie, then I don't want him to see him do one of those. I want him to do a romantic comedy, but with like a Lynch twist.
Well, even Eraserhead, dude, that where you're the first scene when they're all sitting down for dinner, that is like a romantic comedy dinner scene. How awkward it can be when you're having dinner with your girlfriend's parents.
Yeah.
Tarantino sci-fi, of course, but like, yeah.
Blue Velvet. It's not a romantic comedy, but they have that like kind of hokey type of dynamic between McLaughlin and Dern's character.
Yeah.
For like that first like.
And also the other character. I forget her name. No, that's the thing. I want to see Lynch inject some of his Lynchisms.
By the way, it still pisses me off that Disney Plus has a David Lynch movie on it and Netflix doesn't.
It's so funny, the straight story. It's got a lot of Lynchisms in it, but it is very wholesome, and it is a Disney movie. It's somehow just very appropriate, that pairing, because David Lynch is a very wholesome individual.
Well, I could see him kind of like how Werner Herzog was so moved by Baby Yoda.
Right.
I feel like he like got the script for just this guy taking a tractor, and he's like, I get that.
Yeah, I totally get that. And you hear him, I forget which actor said it. They said it recently, when David Lynch will have you just, you know, gnaw someone's, like, poke someone's eye out. And that'll be like, oh, good job. That was a dandy scene. Cut. He's just like Grandpa Lynch on set. Just a good guy.
Do you think he would do a better job if he had another shot at sci-fi like Dune?
No. No, I think Dune, whereas Straight Story was such a match made in heaven, that was a match made in hell.
But like something of that.
He doesn't appreciate it enough. And I don't think that's a criticism of Lynch. It's just that's just not his style. Yes. He doesn't care about world building or destiny or epic fantasy stories. That's why it was a very weird pairing.
Well, Tarantino, I think, would be the best at sci-fi from those. What was the other one?
Wes Anderson horror. See,
that's very intriguing too.
Both of these directors have toyed with the idea of either doing a horror, in Wes Anderson's case, and Tarantino has kind of done sort of horrors. I mean, From Dusk Till Dawn is a straight up horror. He didn't direct it, and Death Proof is basically a horror movie. But and there was talk about his Star Trek movie. Remember that when we used to talk about that on the podcast? That's definitely never happening. But I was one of the only people excited for it. So Tarantino, I think, eventually. Not eventually, because he keeps saying he's going to retire. I'd like to see him do sci-fi, and I'd like to see Wes do horror. If I had to choose, I would go Tarantino sci-fi.
Yeah. A Wes horror would be awesome.
Because even a Wes Anderson horror movie, I feel like I already know how it's going to be. It's just going to be a Wes Anderson movie, but scarier at times.
And everything just very...
That's the thing. With Tarantino, I'm always so interested in what he has to say with his movies, because he's such a great writer of dialogue, and he's so great at crafting clever narratives. That's his greatest skill. So what he can do in a sci-fi setting, it will probably blow your mind, because the guy is just such a genius. So if you gave him a Star Trek movie and it was like, give these characters a problem and then find a clever way for them to solve it.
You could do Pulp Fiction in space.
Yeah, just bounty hunters. Yeah, assassins.
Yeah, just you're going to, like, obviously some elements would have to change, but that type of story could be put into a sci-fi element and it would still work.
This question here from Quincy Wilcox. What movie do you want to see have a sequel that doesn't have one yet? Mine would be District 9. I love District 9. Love it. And I think that is a movie that they could do a sequel. And you get Neil Blomkamp back. It has a great ending. So if they never did a sequel to District 9, it's kind of just like a perfect movie that it is what it is. They never expanded on it. And it's great. It's finished. I'm trying to think of other movies that deserve sequels. The Nice Guys.
Yeah, that's always the one. I love that pairing so much.
These days when a movie is good, they usually get a sequel. I'll tell you what, I just recently rewatched From Dusk Till Dawn. I think they did a TV show, but I would love a sequel where Clooney comes back and he's older and he just goes through some another crazy situation.
Right. It's got to be a film that, like, it's tough because, you know, I love The Lighthouse. I would never want a sequel to The Lighthouse.
Inception?
But yet, like something like another a world you'd want to visit again that kind of won't take away from the first. So
I think Inception is definitely one that I would love a sequel for because the ending to me, I don't love it as much as other people. That's the thing. That's an ending where it's clearly he's back in the real world. Let's see him do it again. Mm-hmm. Well, like, I'm glad you got your kids back. Go inside somebody's head and rob.
Well, I think it was just wasn't like any rumors. I think it was just John David Washington saying he would like to, you know, Tenet sequel would be cool.
Right.
I think Tenet would lend to a sequel.
Okay.
Lend well to a sequel. That's but like different characters, different type. Maybe not a Tenet, but maybe he owns the apartment now.
This question here from Ken Hizzle. Got a couple of good questions here from Ken Hizzle. Personal favorite superhero movie and why? And recast Goodfellas, all female cast. I think female Goodfellas would be amazing. I would go Anna Kendrick as Pesci, Emma Stone as De Niro. And then who's the Ray Liotta of that group? Zendaya. And it's all the same dialogue. They're all like, they're just the men. You know, like they're Henry Hill and Jimmy Conway. But it's just those three.
I'm just going to...
And then Melissa McCarthy's Pauly. Favorite superhero movie?
I'm just going to replace them with the favorite. So Wise is Liotta. No, Stone's Liotta, Pesci's Wise, and Coleman is De Niro.
Hmm. I could see Coleman smoking that cigarette, eye fucking the camera.
Yeah.
That is some great eye acting. When somebody mentioned that on Twitter the other day, I always used to think that to myself watching that scene. That man's eyes, man, he can burn down the entire bar with that look. Personal favorite superhero movie would be Logan. Mm-hmm. I like that part where he goes,
Well, it changes. Like, I think I have a definitive rankings. Where, like, Dark Knight, Logan are up top, but, like favorite one that I just want to rewatch and just relax and put on, I think Guardians is up there for me, just from an enjoyment standpoint. Just a fun movie to put on.
You've always been a big Guardians guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
It's like, I think Winter Soldier is the best movie in the MCU, but I think I'd put on Guardians just to have a good time. One, not two.
What do you feel about Guardians 2? How do you feel about that movie? Did you like it?
I think it's really good, but I don't think it's close to the first one. And there are a few things in there that kind of didn't ruin it, but could have been a little better. So we'll get to that on the Revisited.
This question here from Aaron at Aaron. Out of The Godfather and Apocalypse Now, which one do you think was more influential, quotable, and overall more of a masterpiece? I would just have to say The Godfather because of how quotable and influential and how much of a masterpiece it is. It is like the masterpiece that's always shoved in our faces. And of course, Apocalypse Now is an incredibly influential war movie. And arguably the best war movie of all time. I mean, that is a hard movie to watch. The performances are incredible. The Godfather
did that come out?
Apocalypse Now?
Yeah.
I want to say 78, and The Godfather was 72.
Okay.
Yeah, 79. That's the thing. The Godfather, just the cinematography, there are so many influential aspects of The Godfather that, I mean, they obviously have to do with the movie, but there are just so many pieces that people took from that movie and applied it to their films.
I feel like filmmaking-wise and just things of that nature, they are both obviously very influential, but in terms of the genre itself, I'm trying to think, what are some other... I think The Godfather definitely pushed forward the modern gangster-type movie from the classical. I'm trying to think of a 79 war movie.
We had, like, Patton. Paths of Glory is a good one.
Yeah. They kind of both push forward a new era in the genres.
Now that I'm starting to think about it, a lot of war movies take from Apocalypse Now. That's the
Full Metal Jacket came out 80...
Yeah, that's like 87, 86.
Yeah, so it's before...
Platoon.
Yeah.
The Deer Hunter was a year four at 78. It's similar.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they examine the psychology of a soldier. It's tough, man. Those are considered often his two best movies. So, good job, Coppola. You made such a good movie that they're going to make a movie about you making that movie. This question here from Deku. Why doesn't the whole Soup Gang have letterboxes? Kind of sauce. Yeah, that is sauce. I don't know.
I should sign up for one.
Marissa's letterbox would just be Spider-Verse once a year. Rewatched it, logging it.
So you just log it from like... So if I start one, do I have to go back and do movies or whatever I watched from then on?
No, well, if you see a movie that you've watched, you can give it your score and say that you've seen this before. But when you watch a movie, you can log it. And under your recent activity, it will be like, Aaron, the Nerd Suit Monkey watched... What's one of your Mean Girls?
Put on Superbad last night.
Well, I think Mean Girls is the superior version of that type of film, but...
Ridiculous.
Yeah, so you would log Superbad, maybe give a comment, like, I am McLovin, 5 stars. That's all you need, right?
Oh, man. It all came back. I haven't watched a movie in a while, and it all just came back to me. I was quoting shit I didn't even remember I knew in my head.
You know who I always forget Emma Stone is in that movie? Mm-hmm. Just another classic on her filmography.
There's so many little funny parts. Like, there's some jokes that I got, had more appreciation to. When he's like, when I watched it for the
first
time.
He's talking about his balls. Scratch his balls.
What? Well, when he's like...
You scratch your back, I'll scratch my
back.
Yeah,
funny thing about my back.
Yeah, he's talking about...
My cock.
Yeah.
Well, even when he's like, they talk about like porn, what porn they want to get while they're in college, what subscription. It's like I need some editing. I need some whatever. He's like, sorry, I can't get the Coen brothers to direct our pornography.
I remember there was a meme about that.
And he said something. He's like, it's like, I can't. I was too young to have my ass getting prime. He's like, yeah, kind of like Orson Welles.
There was a meme a couple years ago that I saw about how a guy can't watch porn unless it's 720p and up. He's like, don't you ever come to my shit with that 360p, that grainy, pixelated shit. It's like, I need 4K. I can barely go under 4K these days. It's like, God damn. This question here from Neeson Nido. Out of all of you, whose life would make the best TV spinoff show? Teddy, easily. Actually, you know what? Nash's spinoff show wouldn't be terrible.
No.
I think he gets into enough shenanigans where we would renew it for a couple of years, and then he'd have a public meltdown once we cancel him after, like, year four.
Go the Charlie Sheen route.
Yeah, exactly. This question here from AxeZ60, can Bo say daddy in his podcast voice? No. This question here from West Coast Derek, could Homelander surpass Walter White as the greatest TV villain? Maybe. I don't think he'll ever touch Walter White. Because it's almost like throwing a perfect game, right?
But he,
you get to the second inning, you give up a hit, and then you go the rest of the game, you're perfect. It's not a perfect game, but it's a very good one-hitter. Walter White is a perfect game. And I don't know if up until this point, Homelander has been a perfect character. Maybe if he has just such a strong finish. And that's the thing. He may be the best character on the show, and he's been great, and he's gotten better with this season. But Walt, when you look back... That character is the best character in the show from the very first scene, and he never takes a dip. The character only gets better and better. So that's a tall mountain to climb. Can he climb it? I don't think so. Maybe. He'll have a shot. When it's all said and done, he'll be in that conversation if they have like a really solid 5-season run.
Yeah.
It always depends on how good
your show
is. You
can also argue, too, Walt is, he's not the hero of the story, but he's definitely the protagonist. Or Homelander is very much the antagonist.
Right.
So I guess it's just a different argument. So in terms of just like what he is to other characters, like what Walter is to Jesse, to his family,
he's low key a villain.
When you look at it through that sense, yeah. And like what Homelander is to all the people he terrorizes in his life, it's similar in that sense. But
right.
We obviously get more depth and more with Walt because he's the main character, whereas Homelander is supporting.
This question here from John O'Tatum. Where are you in Hunter x Hunter? I have about 4 episodes left, but I know how it ends, so I basically finished. Fantastic anime. The Chimera Ant arc, like I said over and over again, is one of the most bizarre and epic things I've ever seen. Unadaptable. Is that a word? When they talk about shows or comics or stories that could not be adapted in live action, this third arc in Hunter x Hunter, you couldn't touch it. You really couldn't. And we'll take one more question. This question here from Winterfell underscore 518. Who is the most famous person you have ever met? Well, my sister was married on Regis and Kelly. So Regis Philbin, an icon, I met him. And I've met Jorge Posada like 3 times in my life. Twice at the airport. It's so strange.
I've former like
Yankees great catcher.
I met like Cal Clutterbuck. He's on the Islanders.
Famous person.
I don't think I've really met any like I've been to like autograph signings when I was a kid.
Right.
But I don't think that's meeting.
Yeah, I don't think that counts. Chance encounter.
Yeah.
Like Saul Hill used to run into famous people all the time when he was dorming at Pence. He would always see Rihanna.
He was on a Practical Jokers. Clubs.
Yeah.
It doesn't get bigger than that.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the show.
Yeah.
He really was. Yeah, like I said, Jorge Posada and and Regis and Kelly.
I saw Spike Lee at a Yankee game, but like, I didn't meet him. I was just like, oh, shit.
I played in a high school basketball game against Tobias Harris. Scored 3 points, fouled the shit out of him, and his dad yelled at me from the stands.
Oh, you
definitely They're trying to hurt
him.
My boy.
You definitely met him then.
Yeah.
He should give you... You probably made him the player who he is today.
I don't know why I gave Tobias' dad a southern accent. Trying to hurt my boy.
It's like the dad from Remember the Titans. Are you benching my boy?
Dude, Tobias' dad was such a dick, though, in high school. He used to sit in the stands and just scream the entire game. His dad was LeVar Ball. All right, guys, that's the Nerds Who podcast for today. We are getting tired. We are getting sweaty. It's getting hot in here. We're going to open these windows. And we will be back next week, hopefully with Teddy or Nash. Who knows? I don't know. Is Nash? Did you fire Nash?
Not formally.
Okay, he's been furloughed?
No, he wants us to come back for the Mimosa podcast, so we got to wait for find a day to do that.
Yeah, that kid's always partying. That's the thing.
He's like, I don't want to come back unless it's Mimosas.
Well, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be a nice little teaser. Probably not, but maybe that Sunday. We'll see. And like I said, we will be back. Thank you for watching, listening. Share this, subscribe, like, do all those things. And yeah, see ya. See you next week. Well, would you look at that? It's finally over. Hey guys, Beau Oliver here for one final send-off. Now, before I beg you guys to like and share this video, I'd like to thank our very special Patreon pledgers. We are very proud of the community we've been able to build here at NerdSoup, and it would not have been possible without our Patreon supporters. You guys are the true MVPs of this channel. Everything I've said, you keep the fridge full, you keep the lights on. There aren't enough words to thank you guys, but we'll do it anyway. Thank you. And we have a few videos coming up that have been suggested to us by Patreon pledgers. My Hero Academia, Neon Genesis Evangelion, and Full Metal Alchemist will be reviewed by Marissa, and yours truly, and Castlevania, which will be reviewed by Marissa and Aaron. And if you'd like to consider donating to our Patreon page, you can visit patreon.com/nerdsoup and check out some of the rewards we offer to our listeners. And really, we'd like to thank everyone who takes the time out of their day to watch our videos. Patreon pledger or not, your support is what keeps us motivated to keep giving the world our opinions on movies and TV shows and video games and pop culture, even though no one asked for it. We're still here, we're still yapping, and we hope you continue to join us. I'm Beau Oliver, and I support this message.